भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं Tuto Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should first offer respectful obeisance unto the personality of Garuda Narayan. Under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our dearmost spiritual master. Nasta Prayashvadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service under the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and thus loving service under the transcendent Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, Text number 17. Matra Svastra Duhitra Va Naviviktasano Naviviktasano Bhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvamsam Api Karshati Matra Svastra Duhitrava Matra Svastra Duhitrava Naviviktasano bhavet. Naviviktasano bhavet. Balavan indriya gramo. Balavan indriya gramo. Vidvangsam apikarshati. Vidvangsam apikarshati. Matra svastra duhitradva Naviviktasano bhavet Balavan indriya gramo Vidvamsam apikarshati Matra svastra duhitrava Naviviktasano bhavet Balavan indriya gramo Vidvamsam apikarshati. Matra svastra duhitrava Naviviktasano bhavet Balavan indriya gramo Vidvamsam apikarshati. Sano bhavet. Balavan indriya gramo. Vidvamsam apikarshati. Matra svastra duhitrava Naviviktasano bhavet Balavan indriya gramo Vidvamsam apikarshati Matra svastra duhitrava Navivigtasano bhavet. Palavan indriya gramo. Vidvamsam apikarsati. Any other men? Matajis? Matra svastra duhitra va. Navivigtasano bhavet. Balavan indriya gramo vidvamsam apikarshati matra svastra duhitrava navivigtasano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvamsam apikarshati Matra, with one's mother. Svasra, with one's sister. Duhitra, with one's own daughter. Va, either. Na, not. Avivikta asana, seated closely on one seat. Bhavet, one should be. Balavan, very strong. Indriyagrama, the group of senses. Vidvamsam, the very learned and advanced person. Api, even. Karshati, agitates. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, one should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Please repeat, one should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat even with one's own mother, sister or daughter, for the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. As specifically mentioned herewith, such attraction is possible even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. Generally, of course, one is not sexually attracted to his mother, sister, or daughter. But if one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. This is a psychological fact. It may be said that one is liable to be attracted if he is not very advanced in civilized life. However, as specifically mentioned here, vidvamsam apikarshati, even if one is highly advanced, materially or spiritually, he may be attracted by lusty desires. The object of attraction may even be one's mother, sister, or daughter. Therefore, one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was most strict in such dealings, especially after he accepted the sannyas order. Indeed, no woman could come near him to offer him respect. Again, one is warned herewith that one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. A brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of his spiritual master if she happens to be young. The wife of the spiritual master may sometimes take some service from the disciple of her husband, as she would from a son. But if the wife of the spiritual master is young, a brahmachari is forbidden to render service to her. Translation again. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong that even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Om Agyantimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanyamano Bhishtam Shtabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sude Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchakopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is a very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. I wasn't actually on the schedule to give class today. But somehow or other, yes, Krishna knew I needed to hear this, so I've been asked to give class. We've had vivid description in this chapter and previous chapters of the strong binding principle of male and female association culminating in the act of sex. As we hear from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, not all sex is bad. In fact, Krishna says that kamoshmi bharatarshava, that I am sex, which is done according to religious principles. And so that sex has to be done under strict regulations of the spiritual master. Actually, it doesn't matter what stage of life one's in, as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyas, one must follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master leaves very specific instructions how one should perform this act of sex to bring Krishna conscious children within this world. And I don't know all the specific details within ISKCON, but I know it's required that the couple has to chant at least 64 rounds. 50? Only 50. Okay. 50 rounds before the act. And of course, it has to be done at an auspicious time. And of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that he would have sex, what do you say, thousands? Thousand times or something? If he could, 100 times, if he could bring Krishna conscious children in this world. And we can see from the example of so many exalted personalities, Srila Prabhupada included, that there is no guarantee of what kind of children will come into this world. But of course, there's a much better chance if one is following the strict principles of the Grihastha Ashram. The world as we see it now is overrun with Varna Sankara, with unwanted, unqualified population. due to the result of people simply on the basis of sex impulse, which is why most people end up getting together, getting married or not getting married, having boyfriend, girlfriend. For the most part, it's done simply on the basis of sex attraction. And Srila Prabhupada equates that, as do all the acharyas, with animal life. Animals are engaged in fulfilling animalistic propensities, eating, sleeping, sex life and defense. Therefore, as human beings, which the human form of life is specifically meant for self-realization, if we don't use this opportunity to perform activities conducive to self-realization, then our life is considered no better than the life of base animals. And therefore, one of the most important principles in the Vedic civilization, at least in the Grihastha ashram, and actually for all society at large, is this principle of Garbhadhan Sankara. And this is why previously in India, the caste system was there, or the Varnashram system was there. And generally it would be that a person who was born in a particular family, generally he had the qualifications of his forefathers. As this process of Garbhadhan Sankara was followed strictly, but then as things became degraded and it wasn't followed, then it became all mishmash. And therefore in Kali Yuga it's stated that Kalau Sudra Sambhava. So apart from this, we can understand from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita that unless we're an eternally liberated soul taking birth to benefit others by our association in this material world, we all take birth to exploit material nature. And that's stated by Krishna in the seventh chapter. He says, Apariyamitastvanyam prakritim vidimeparam jivabhutam ahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Dharyate, the living entities are traveling throughout the different universes, finally come to the point to take birth in this material world and actually in all the different species. And our prime motivation is exploitation. We're here to exploit the different resources of material nature. And so this is good to always remember that we've come to this world with some ulterior motive. Just like Srila Prabhupada has stated, that we should always remember where we've come from before we came to Krishna consciousness. Because this will keep us in a humble state of mind, which is absolutely necessary to make spiritual advancement and come to the point of spontaneous devotional service. So this, we start with this desire to lord it over material nature. And it's explained that the pure love that we have for Krishna, when we come to the material world, it becomes transformed into lust. And so understanding the nature of this lust, what it is, where it comes from, and how to defeat it is really important. And therefore I thought we would read some preliminary verses in Bhagavad Gita, which we've heard again and again. And of course, we can understand by the example of Srila Prabhupada's preaching that we need to hear these things over and over and over and over again, because the mind is so fickle in Kali Yuga, it's so easy to forget. So, first of all, Krishna says, in the second chapter, he says, the senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they forcibly carry away the mind even of a man of discrimination who is endeavoring to control them. In text 67, Krishna says, as a strong wind sweeps away a boat on the water, even one of the roaming senses on which the mind focuses can carry away a man's intelligence. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. So this is how lust develops in the first place, because of material attachment. From lust, anger arises. From anger, complete delusion arises. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When our memory is bewildered, our intelligence is lost. And when our intelligence, when we can't find our intelligence, we fall down into the material pool. And then Krishna says, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through the regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. And then Arjuna asks Krishna, he says, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? And that's what we're hearing a little bit about in this verse. It says that although, Srila Prabhupada mentions, although normally one isn't agitated sitting next to one's mother or daughter or sister, yet the senses are so impelled by lust that even unwillingly, one can be forced to engage in unwanted sinful activities. The Supreme Personality of God had said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Wow, think about that. All-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by the womb, the living entity similarly is covered by different degrees of this lust. Huh? I'm sorry. Mirror is covered by dust, or embryo is covered by the womb. Thank you. The living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. Therefore, Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. And we'll just read Srila Prabhupada's illuminating purport here. Lust is only the perverted reflection of the love of God, which is natural for every living entity. But if one is educated in Krishna consciousness from the very beginning, that natural love of God cannot deteriorate into lust. When love of God deteriorates into lust, it is very difficult to return to the normal condition. Nonetheless, Krishna consciousness is so powerful that even a late beginner can become a lover of God by following the regulative principles of devotional service. So from any stage of life or from the beginning of understanding its urgency, one can begin regulating the senses. Krishna says this is how we defeat this lust, by following the regulative principles of freedom, it says. So Srila Prabhupada says from the beginning, from any stage of life, from the time of understanding its urgency in any case, one can begin regulating the senses in Krishna consciousness, devotional service of the Lord, and turn the lust into love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that it's best one develop one's Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. And all of us here, or rather none of us here, actually had that, really important opportunity. We've all come to Krishna consciousness at a later stage. But let's hear from Prahlad Maharaj as to how important it is to take advantage of our spiritual life in the early years. He says, Komara, Acharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatani Ha Durlavam Manusham Janma Tharap Yadruvya Artadam. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary, like other bodies, it is meaningful, because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. In the Yajnavalkya Smriti, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that the vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and minds at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. So, men are totally fine by themselves. Women also are totally fine by themselves, especially as devotees. But it's a fact that just like men are compared to butter, women are compared to fire. So when butter and fire come together, naturally the butter is going to melt. And so therefore our training in Krishna consciousness, there has to be separation between women and between men. And this was obviously a huge challenge when Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, to the Western world, to preach Krishna consciousness. And he allowed so many different changes in what had been, you know, very strictly principles of Vedic culture. But because men and women are from childhood are closely associating together, therefore Prabhupada allowed the, you know, the Brahmacharya ashram. And of course there are so many statements from Srila Prabhupada how as a man or woman becomes a devotee, then you know, the purity of the soul is such that we don't see on one hand anyone on the material platform. We don't see that just because a woman has a material body of a woman, therefore she's less qualified to perform devotional service. And in fact, when Srila Prabhupada was on the planet and devotees were going out and distributing books, women often would distribute so many more books than the men. And I think it was said at one point that they were our secret weapon in Krishna consciousness. And even today in Vrindavan, where I spend most of my time now, the women outdo the men by about 3 or 4 to 1. They have a women's party distributes around the temple because there's thousands of visitors coming every day. And the women always do huge. So it's not necessarily, you know, an impediment to a Krishna consciousness having a woman's body. But the regulations which govern the behavior of men and women still have to be followed strictly, because as we understand from this verse, the tendency is there for lusty desires to arise within the heart. And we want to be as careful as we can and not allow this lust again to overcome our mind and senses and bewilder us, and to take a chance on on becoming a Grihamedi and falling down into a more base type of existence where we lose the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. I thought now we'd read a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada. I got some of these from the book by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj. This is told by Dhanavir Goswami. He says that brahmacharis often have a tendency to reject women, but Srila Prabhupada never did that because he was above attraction and repulsion and simply wanted to engage everyone in Krishna's service. When a devotee complained to Prabhupada that the presence of women in our movement caused too many problems and suggested that we no longer accept women as full-time devotees, Srila Prabhupada replied, they have come to take shelter of Krishna. We cannot turn them away. And then this next quote, that was a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And he says, regarding the disturbance made by women devotees, they are also living beings. They also come to Krishna. So consciously, I cannot deny them. If our male members, the brahmacharis and the sannyasis, become steady in Krishna consciousness, there is no problem. It is the duty of the male members to be very steady and cautious. This can be done by regularly chanting like Haridas Thakur did. Whenever there is a young woman, we should remember Haridas Thakur and beg his mercy to protect us. And we should think that these beautiful gopis are meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. It is a dilemma for our society that we cannot deny these girls, and at the same time, they are a great dangerous allurement to the young boys. On being informed that some brahmacharis felt disturbed by the presence of women in the temple, Srila Prabhupada sarcastically suggested that the brahmacharis go to the forest. This is a letter from 1972. Previously, brahmacharis... Let me see here. I think this is actually directly from Bhakti Vikash Maharaj saying this. Previously, brahmacharis used to live in the forest, far away from the agitation of the cities. But that is not possible in the modern age. Indeed, as a consequence of preaching, at least as many women as men will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. And we cannot deny their existence or their right to serve Krishna. Rather, anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. However, as long as one is not completely pure, if a male devotee begins with the best intentions to encourage a woman to take to Krishna consciousness, the tendency is to become attracted on the emotional and physical levels. Therefore, even though brahmacharis may preach to anyone, it is better that women preach to women. In 1967, at the Second Avenue Temple in New York City, Srila Prabhupada announced in one class, "Don't see these girls as objects of sense gratification. See them as associates of Krishna." That was told to Jadarani Devi Dasi. And in the mid-70s, in America, a party of sannyasis and brahmacharis became overly righteous about the attachments of grihasthas and women. Tension developed and reached exploding point at the Mayapur Festival in 1976. In the course of setting everything straight, the way he always did, by preaching Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said that male devotees should address the women as "my dear mother," and the women should see the men as "my dear son." That's also told by Jadarani Devi Dasi. In a conversation in Seattle in 1968, Srila Prabhupada said, "Now another thing, girls should not be taken as inferior. Sometimes, of course, in scripture, we say that woman is the cause of bondage. So that should not be aggravated that women are inferior. The girls who come, we should treat them very nicely. After all, anyone who is coming to Krishna consciousness, man or woman, is very fortunate. The idea of dressing each other as Prabhu means, you are my master. Prabhu means master. So everyone shall treat others as my master. This is Vaishnava understanding. In spiritual life, there is nothing like this sexism. The more we forget sex life means we are advancing in spiritual life. So this should be the attitude. Women, God's sisters, should be nicely treated. And I'll end with this short quote. It's kind of an amusing story from Brazil, where in the temple, one of the temples, all the brahmacharis became so fired up that they wanted to send all the women away. And when the GBC, who was Sridhananda Maharaj, found out, he joked, "Don't be ridiculous. Then the brahmacharis wouldn't have anyone to perform for." So I think we'll end here. Anyone has any questions, comments? Amabhakta Prabhu. Maharaj, excuse me.
Yeah, thank you for a very nice, explicit class with wonderful, supportive purports from Srila Prabhupada, something we all can need. Just one little quick question, and that was, I believe it was in the purport you were reading, that a disciple should not serve the wife of a spiritual master if she's young. But young is a relative term, and why I'm posing this question is that I know women who are 40 years old, but they look 20 years old, and they function like 20 years old. So did Srila Prabhupada give a period age group between what and what, or is it they just look young and that's it?
You know, some of these rules and regulations are there in the Dharma Shastras. And so that's where Prabhupada is quoting some of these things from. So maybe there, there's more specific information. Actually, it says here that a brahmachari is forbidden even to see the wife of his spiritual master if she happens to be young. Mm. So that's obviously up to some discretion on someone who's qualified. I can't speculate on that. And I mean, generally, one who becomes a spiritual master, when he's married, his wife is somewhat elderly. Like, we have Sankarshan Prabhu and, Vaisheshika Prabhu. I mean, but I don't know. Any other illuminations on that question, Maharaj, you can add?
He could figure out, what the possible relationship between the brahmacharis and his wife would be, and he himself would make the necessary arrangements.
Yes. Thank you. Anything else? Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai.